to you, to respond to your. So he has something he wants to say to y'all tonight. You want to hear it? Well, just tell somebody you're happy and you may be seated. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the RVN band. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This Easter Resurrection Life Sunday, we're going to have a healing communion service unlike you've ever seen. I've never done one like this in my entire life, and I'm excited about it. We're going to get rid of those little aches and pains. And that
thing has just been lingering and trying to hold on and blah, blah, blah. Amen. Why don't we do that tonight? We're going in another direction. I've got to get your faith
built up there for that. Amen. So tonight, the substitutionary work of Jesus is so vital for a believer to understand. Because when you understand the substitutionary work of Jesus, then you understand that he took your place. Literally, he took your place. You're not one in a mix. That he took the place for the masses. You know, I've heard it said, if you were the only one on the planet, Jesus would have still died for you. You understand what I'm saying? That's how personal he took this. He substituted with his sinless self for us. And as believers, there is five great exchanges that you and I ought to be well versed in and walking in. You know, the Bible says not to forget all his benefits. A lot of Christians know about getting saved, but they don't know any more than that. And so tonight, I'm going to take you through the five great exchanges, what Jesus substituted for you so that you can live an abundant life. You know, Jesus made it very clear in John 10:10, it's the thief, the devil, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and with that life, more abundance. And so that is a master key scripture that unlocks other scripture to let us know, wait a minute, that was the devil that did that. You know, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I remember the first time I read that, like, okay. I was taught that God put that on me to teach me something. It was a revelation. Remember what happens with revelation. Revelation gives you inspiration. Inspiration gives you determination. And determination gives you expectation. And you're on a Holy Ghost ride, right? So let's look at these five great exchanges. I would invite somebody for Sunday. And let's just have us a Holy Ghost healing service. Amen. Well, I don't need no healing. Aren't you the selfish one? You just thinking about yourself? Can't you intercede and pray for somebody that may be sitting right beside you or behind you or in front of you that needs that? Or a family member? Hallelujah. Quit thinking about yourself all the time. See? Romans chapter 6, let's look at exchange number 1. And I categorize these how I think they're important. Their importance, 1 through 5. I believe this is the most important. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is what? Okay, wages. We're talking about the paycheck. We're talking about what you're going to reap. Many of you, like me, were headed that way. Right? For the wages of sin is death, but here's the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So number one, exchange is from death to life. You and I were dead in our trespasses and sin. Oh, we were physically alive, but we were dead. Now, when we're talking about dead, we're not talking about that you weren't existing spiritually. You were. But there was a separation. Sin had separated you and I from the life of God. That's why Jesus came to be the mediator between God and man, that he would be the go-between that would make up the difference for you and I to have not just life, but eternal life, the God kind of life. I wrote this down. Sin is a vicious separator. Look up on the screen. Sin is a vicious separator and killer, whether suddenly or slowly. See, sin, there's some people, you know, that the first time they took heroin, it killed them. And there's others that they 23 years, and they're still after it, right? So that's why I put in there, whether suddenly or slowly. But that is what happened when Adam fell in the garden. He was separated, spiritually speaking, from God. And when you're separated, it can come in various forms. For instance, you might be real popular, but yet when you're in the crowd, you're lonely. Something's missing. And, you know, until you cross that bridge to salvation, the peace that you've longed for and that you wanted always seemed to escape you. You know, another relationship. This kind of drug, this kind of drink, this kind of career, this kind of education, this kind of, right? But sin is vicious. And the first objective for sin is to separate you and I from God. See? And we're living in a world where people are separated. But once you're born again, who can separate us from the love of God, right? But it was killing you one way or another. If it hadn't been for Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, if it hadn't been for Jesus. Right? So you and I were the walking dead. We're walking around partying. We're walking around, you know, even some of you were morally good people, you know, and so on and so forth. But you still wasn't born again. See? You know, the whole thing with the Virgin Mary, right? She had to be born again. She needed Jesus just like everybody else, right? But there's a whole denomination out there. They praying to somebody that had to call on the blood of Jesus herself, right? So sin is a vicious separator. Now, let's add something to that. Let's go over here. To 1 John. Chapter 3. This is exchange number 1. From death to life. The Bible lets us know that we passed from death to life. Isn't that wonderful? You take your last breath here. Your next breath you'll be in heaven. Glory be to God. There ain't no soul sleep. There's no delay. No, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That loved one that just moved to heaven, you quit crying over them. They would say, "What you crying about? I'm having. Why should their best moment be your worst?" I understand you miss their presence and their laughter or whatever. But they don't want to come back. Matter of fact, they just saying, "Hey, come on. Come on with yourself. Right? It's good over here." Right? And so you and I have already passed from, yes, it's appointed unto men once to die. We get that. But that appointment is not God has a certain day. It's just everyone is going to die if Jesus should tarry, but we're guaranteed long life. Live long, live strong. We were coming back from Harrisburg. Harrisburg, by the way, was over the top. I'll share some of that miracles Sunday morning. But we were coming back. Now, Mama Alberta said this. She said this. "Can we stop at McDonald's and get an egg McMuffin?" I said, what did she say? An egg McMuffin. I don't know that we've ever eaten one since. I don't know. I don't even know how we knew there was an egg McMuffin. So anyways, we pull in McDonald's. You know, I'm going to honor the queen. We pulled in there, and I didn't know McDonald's had gotten all techie. You know, I just thought you went in there like you always did, and you went up to the counter, you know, and no, they got all this computer stuff and everything. I'm like, but there was this old man in there, and he was in there, and he was mopping the floor, and you know, he's talking to everybody, and I could see that, you know, I could see that he had Jesus in him. And so I'm in line, and he comes over to me, and he said, "Can I help you with anything?" And I said, "No, I'm good." I said, "You look like you got Jesus in you." He said, "Oh, yes, sir." He said, I can't go a day without him." I said, "Me neither." And he said, "I plan to live 120 years. So I knew where he was coming from. So we had church right there and there where I'm going to get me an egg McMuffin. So Mama Alberta had a word from God. I said, "Well, look at that." See, he didn't come up with that. You know, he listened to some faith teaching. And so as long as I'm going to live to be 120, I might as well have a job. And those bathrooms, he had them all clean, everything clean. I mean, he had that place spick and span, right? So we've passed from death unto life, right? And we are guaranteed that God kind of life to be moving in our physical being. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will quicken. That word quicken means to revitalize, to give you vitality, right? Energy, if you will, right? The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies also. And over here in 1 John chapter 3, we see this verse in verse number 8. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. "He that committeth sin is of the devil." Now, that doesn't mean if you did something wrong that you got the devil. It's talking about he that committeth sin. You're committed to it. In other words, you've instilled that in your life. See, the devil has convinced you that pornography is okay. It just enhances your drive. All that mess. See, right? I ain't getting no amen or not even a head shake on that. But that's true anyhow. Right? That's a lie from hell. Right? But he that is committed to sin, an habitual sinner that will not be convicted or try to turn their life around with the help of God, right? He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he may what? Destroy the works of the devil, right? Okay, and we're going to look at in all five of these great exchanges, you're going to see the works of the devil, right? He sinned from the beginning, caused the first Adam to yield. And, you know, people say, if he's such a perfect God, then why did he create Adam to sin? He didn't create Adam to sin. He created Adam to choose life. When Adam had that fruit in his mouth, God did not step into the garden and slap it out of his hands and don't eat that. He sat there and watched him do it. Why? Because he gave him free will. That's why he'll sit there and watch you do something stupid, because he's given you the power to choose. That's why we want to choose life. We want to choose blessing. That's why we study the Word of God, to see what we're delivered from and then choose that path for our life and for our marriage and family and so on and so forth. So sin is a vicious separator. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, that separation, see? And that's why he brings you into a family. That's why, you know, we're family here, right? I mean, I got physical family. I do. And they're born again. They've experienced forgiveness. And they know, you know, they'll be in church probably on Easter, you know, and all that. And they don't cuss and drink and, you know, they're good folk. But they don't know this. They don't know this. You know, they're still stuck on, well, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. We all sin, all that mess, right? Are you following this? But you and I have passed the great exchange. You know, Dad Tilton, me and him were talking about this doctrine out there that Jesus never really died, that he had life inside of him. And because of that, that's how he rose from the dead. Now, well, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from New Age. Because they want to believe that they have eternal life in them as far as heaven is concerned. They got eternal life in them. But it's going to be eternally separated, right, from God. Jesus had to die spiritually, just like Adam. The first Adam had to die spiritually. That's why, oh, Jesus, I didn't know we were going here. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus, Lord have mercy, was actually born again. Now, see, that right there gets you stoned in the seminary, right? Because they cannot picture. And then as far as Jesus going to hell, oh, no. No, he was dead for 3 days. They don't want it. And see, when you're leaving out, you know, I wrote a book called Last Days. And it's not talking about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, right before Jesus comes. It talks about what happened from the garden all the way through the whipping post, through the cross, through the burial, to hell, to the resurrection, to the ascension, right, and to his return, and then his ascension again, the last days. And if you just read that, you're gonna be miles ahead of your quote-unquote believer. See? We're still on number one, ain't we? Well, it's good, ain't it? Right? We're talking about Jesus. We just can't rush this. This is his substitutionary work. And separation's a vicious, It's vicious. You know, you let a child, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and they don't see their mommy at the playground. I mean, they start freaking out, right? Not to mention Pete, right? But you understand what I'm saying? And when you and I were separated from God, whether we knew it or not, it's like, where do we belong? What's our purpose? Why are we here? Right? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works, plural, of the devil. Right? Let's go to exchange number two. So that's the most important one, right? I mean, you got to be born again, right? I mean, that's the most important thing. I mean, you know, when we had a sister in the church here years ago, Leela. Remember Leela? Remember Leela? And Leela had a brother, James. And they're both in heaven now, so I can share this. And I'm sure both of them wouldn't mind it anyways. But Leela would witness to James, and she'd come up and say, "You got to pray for James." And Leela had her own things she was working through, and she just wanted her brother saved. And he ain't buying it until he's about to leave his planet. And she called me up, and she said, "Pastor James, they're only giving him, you know, just any moment now. They're saying he's going to die today. Would you go see him?" And so when I got up there to the hospital, there he was laying in bed. They already disconnected everything. They're just waiting for him to take his last breath. And when I went in there, I'm not going to tell him about seed time and harvest. Come on now. And I went in there and I said, "James, you about to leave this planet. Now, do you really want to leave this planet the way you are?" He said, "Pastor, no, I don't leave." I said, you know Jesus died for you." "Yes, I know Jesus died for me." "You know he was raised from the dead?" "Yes, I know he was raised from the dead." I said, "You ready to accept Jesus?" He said, "Yes." And I led him in a prayer right then, and I watched it happen. His whole countenance changed. He went from just a troubled, vexing face to all of a sudden his face just changed, and it's just this calmness and peace. And he said, "I've never felt peace like this in my life." 20 minutes later, he's gone. See? Another time I was asked by two of the guys in the church. There was someone that was in a coma. And I was young. And they said, "You want to go to the hospital, and we're going to pray for him to be healed." I said, "Yeah, that was big time. You know, boy, be a God." And so we go there. And, you know, they're older than me in the Lord, you know, so I'm letting them, you know, he's in a coma, no response. And they're anointing him with oil, and they're praying over him. And the Lord says this to me: "He ain't saved." "Well, what do you want me to do about it? He's in a coma." He said, lead him to me, Philip." I said, "What?" He said, "Lead him to me." I said, "He's in a coma. I know that. Lead him to me." So, are you in a hurry tonight? And so, going down memory lane here. And so, after they were done praying, I said, "Hey, fellas, I want to talk to this guy." He said, "Philip, he can't hear you." I said, "I want to lead him to Jesus." "Jesus, you can't lead him to Jesus. He don't know we're here." I said, "The Lord spoke to me, lead him to Jesus." Now, they think that they did the worst thing by bringing me up there. So I went over to him. I forget what his name was. We'll just call him Roy. I said, Roy, you need Jesus in your heart. And I just want you to know that Jesus died for you and that he was raised from the dead. And, Roy, all you have to do is receive that. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Nothing. So I said, repeat this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was raised from the dead. Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. Thank you for forgiving me. Now teach me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. And those guys said, all right, Philip, let's go. So we left. Now I feel like a fool. They ain't saying nothing to me in the car. The next Sunday, we're in praise and worship. Lord says, I want you to go back to, we'll call him Roy, to Roy in the hospital and visit him, but I don't want you going, those guys take Alberta with you. I said, all right. So I told Alberta, I said, God spoke to me during praise and said to go visit that guy I was telling you about. She said, that guy that was in a coma? I said, yeah. She said, okay, let's go. So we went to the hospital. We went to Roy's room. And when we walked in, he's sitting up wide awake. And right when we're going in, this lady's walking out. And I said, Roy, do you remember me? He says, I remember you, but I don't remember her because she wasn't there. Folks, I'm telling you. I said, do you remember the prayer? He said, oh, yeah. That was my daughter that just walked out there. I sent her to go get me a Bible. Folks, I'm telling you. Same thing happened with my brother-in-law. In a coma with cancer. Led him to the Lord. They sent him home to die. I'm driving home from church. And the word of the Lord comes to me. Call and talk to Ronnie. I said, Lord, ain't nobody able to talk to Ronnie. Call and talk to Ronnie. So I called Alberta's sister up, my sister-in-law, precious woman, born again Catholic. And I said, Ann, I need to talk to Ronnie. And she said, we'd all like to talk to Ronnie. I said, Ann, I need to talk to Ronnie. Philip, he ain't talking to nobody. I said, Ann, I got to talk to him. She said, he just lays in bed. I said, yeah, but he'd come out of the coma, but he's not communicating. There's nothing there, right? And so I persisted, and she said, okay, I'll get the boys to carry him out here and put him in his chair. So, I'm on hold, and, about 5 minutes later, she said, okay, he's on chair. I said, now put the phone up to Ronnie's ear. She put the phone up to Ronnie's ear. I said, Ronnie, you remember that prayer that we prayed? And he says, I know it. And went back down. Nobody else was able to talk to him. He accepted Jesus. Are you following this? Follow this now. So this by far is the number one great exchange. Are y'all tired? Sin is a vicious separator and killer, whether suddenly or slowly. Exchange number two. Let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22. So you can speak to somebody that is not responding. They might have dementia, Alzheimer's, in some kind of coma, some kind of, you know, where they you know, medicated, induced, right? But you're speaking to their spirit. Roy, whatever his name was, Roy remembered that I was there. I mean, he was seeing something from his spirit and knew that Alberta wasn't with me. Powerful. Luke 22. It says here in verse 39, and he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an what agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That's why the Bible says you not yet resisted unto blood. No, so what's going on here? This is substitutionary work. Follow this now. The attack is on Jesus' will. If you be willing, nevertheless, not my will. So he's struggling here. Are you following? Because not only is he about to lay down the anointing, he's about to be separated from the Father. He had never been separated from the Father. And so, remember now, all of this is substitutionary work, right? So what's going on here is his soul is going through torment. Oh. From the enemy trying to bring confusion. The author of confusion is the devil. And he attacks your will. He attacks your soul, right? So confusion is a vicious tormentor and killer, whether suddenly or slowly. That's why I put this as number two. Because your soul cannot stay in the same condition as when you accepted Jesus and live victorious. It cannot. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of what? Your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will. Will, we're talking about your will. The will of God. See? And so, here, again, this is substitutionary work. So the enemy tries to bring confusion. That's why we got all this woke mess going on. You got kids thinking they're a biological male, thinking that they're supposed to be a female. It's confusion. See, all of this, a baby born and you got 30 days to decide whether you want it to live or not. It's confusion. See, all this mess is confusion, right? Are you following this? It's confusion. Think about how confused you were before you finally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking even after you were born again, right? But your soul is still confused. You had all kinds of questions. How come this happened? How come that didn't happen? Until you came into the house of God and started being taught the Word of God. Thank God for our kids that are being raised in this truth, right? That they're not having to go through what you and I had to go through, the torment. Because that's what confusion does. It'll torment you. Well, maybe I was raped. Maybe I was abused because I did something. And people start taking it as confusion. Are you following what I'm saying? It's the whole thing's confusion. So Jesus was agonizing in the garden. It didn't stop there. Then as he was going to appear before Pilate, they plaited, is that what's the right word for crown of thorns? Weaved a crown of thorns, and thorns represent the curse, and rammed it down over what we would call the brain area, the soul, if you will. You understand what I'm saying? And he's taking the curse that your mind would ever encounter, that it would ever encounter. Doesn't matter how many years you've been born again, the devil still try to bring confusion in. Doesn't matter how many times you've seen victory in your life, the enemy is still trying to bring confusion in. Where's it at? How come it's taking so long? I'll tell you why. Because you ain't got enough faith. I'll tell you why. Because you did this or you didn't do that. Right? See? But he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Right? Are you following this? And, you know, confusion can meet you when you wake up. That's not a bad prophecy over you. The enemy just tries to just hit you any way he can. Right? And that's why when you wake up in the morning, choose life. Choose blessing. Start speaking a word when you come up out of that bed. Right? And if you have to cast down a few things coming out of that bed, then do it. Hallelujah. Right? This is the great exchange. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Yes. See, this is the, and see, you can't go any further in these last three exchanges to any level of victory if your mind's not renewed. I mean, I know you guys know this, but it's so valuable that you never stop renewing your mind. That's what keeps me on the edge, is I'm always open up to the things of God. Every day, nearly in my life, I will come into visions and revelations of who you are. You pour out your spirit upon me. You make your words known unto me. You show me great and mighty things I know not of. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Make me to understand thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous ways. Open up my eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Hallelujah. See. So, Jesus, did the great exchange. He agonized. Medical doctors and science have, I forget what they call it, but when you are being stressed to where you actually sweat and blood, they have a name for it. I don't know what it is, but you're so agonizing that blood vessels break inside and you actually, it comes out your pores. Now, folks, I've had some battles. You have too, but nothing like that. Nothing like that. You think that situation is tormenting, and I get it. I get it. But he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin, right? This is substitutionary work of Jesus. Are you following this? And so it's up to us to receive this exchange. And the way we receive this exchange is know the truth, and that truth will make you free from that stinking thinking. Number three, let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Let's put our eyes on verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Exchange number three is from fallen nature to divine nature. Now, see, that happened to you when you got born again, but you didn't know that. You had to get your mind renewed before you could ever step into that. That's why people can't, I mean, they think you're in some cult when you start talking about you're a priest and a king. And when you start getting over into little G's, now they know that you have lost your mind. Yeah, you have. You got the mind of Christ now. See, and this exchange from that fallen nature will snap you out of, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. It will snap you out of, well, I'm that false humility. I'm so unworthy. I'm so undeserving. All that. See? And so in all this, we get over to, and you're well taught here because I know you're a pastor, but let's put our eyes on it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21. For he hath made, he, there is Father God. For he, Father God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, Jesus. The great exchange. You've heard me preach this, right? Right? If you don't get your image from the one that created you, then you're going to form your own image. So, fallen nature is a vicious imager and killer, whether suddenly or slowly. That's why you got kids that they just idolize Taylor Swift. See? Or LeBron James. Are you following what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, and they're trying to get some kind of image. That all of a sudden, they want to dress like her. They want to play like him, or whatever, right? And what's doing that is not knowing the image in which they've been created. Remember when you found out about righteousness? Remember that? It was like being born again. Remember that? And you found out that you were made in the image of God. And then you start looking back in your life and you see, my goodness, I was acting a fool. I thought I was all that. Or I didn't think I was anything. One way or the other, right? Are you following this? It's a fallen nature is a vicious imager. See, if you don't get your image from your new creation reality, you're going to form your own image. Remember what I told you about the three things of what form you? Is how you were raised, how you were educated, and the experiences that you experience. See? Right? You can't get away from it. That shaped you. That's why we want to be raised again with Christ Jesus, educated in the Word of God by the Spirit of God, and experience the supernatural, the fourth dimension of God. So do you see why the number one exchange from death to life is so vital to get you started? And then the exchange number two, right, in the soul, right, that you and I be renewed in the mind from confusion, from torment. Most back in the day when I did a lot of counseling, oh Jesus, most of it was confusion rooted in finances. Rooted in finances, see? And confusion, it doesn't play. I mean, people have blown their brains out in confusion. They've jumped off of bridges. Well, I can't say that I did that myself. I was in confusion. That was all for image, right? Hallelujah. Look how cool he is, right? So the substitutionary work of Jesus then is he became something he never was so that you and I could become something we never were. Do you see that? Number four. Go to 1 Peter. Now I'm telling you, those of you that teach a Bible study or you're going to go minister somewheres and the place you're going to minister, they don't have much word. This right here. You take these five great exchanges and you hit on them out of the Word of God, it'll shake somebody's life up. See? And so I commission you. Go teach this. Hallelujah. Put your own spice to it. 1 Peter 2 in verse number 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus went to the whipping post, did he not? Isaiah 53:5 said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed, right? Now watch this. Sickness is a vicious robber and killer, whether suddenly or slowly. Sickness robs you. It robs you of time. It robs you of finances. It robs you of relationships. I mean, there's people that their sickness has been long. And it's robbed them of being a mother. It's robbed them of being a father. It's robbed them of this. It's robbed them of that. See? The devil knows that. See? And Jesus substituted everything that has been robbed from us through sickness, through anything really, but sickness is what we're talking about, right? The Bible says he will restore the years that the locust, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and cancer or heart disease or kidney infection or that broken leg or whatever put you down, right, that robbed from you. There's people that have lost their job because of sickness, right? There's people that can't get a job because of sickness. It's a robber. Not just is it robbing your physical life, you know, can't get down on the floor and play with your kids. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you getting this? And so Jesus did something about it, folks. It's Good Friday. Hallelujah. By his stripes we were healed. You looking at one? You know, I was walking up the steps from the lower level. Yeah, rising up, Pastor Ed. And I got upstairs on the main level there with Mama Alberta, and I told her. I said, that really happened. I mean, it really happened. I can't even relate to it. The scar right here, you can barely see it now. Hair growing back. Strength is back. Appetite's back. And I can go to the bathroom. Glory be to God. Right? Right? But laying in bed, in that hospital bed. I mean, you know, praise God for Tiff and Pastor Desnor and different ones that came to visit me. But they were there every day. But then it came the time when they leave. And there I am, you know, just laying in that bed, right? And I just wanted, have you ever just wanted to go to sleep and wake up and it'd be all over? Don't look at me like, nah. I'm talking about, you know, that this is just a dream. This ain't really happening, right? But it was. And that's when I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to bust the devil in his mouth, right? Because it was to me, robbing me of this ministry, our time. You know, I talked to Albert on the phone. She said, honey, I just want you home. I said, babe, I'm dancing as fast as I can, right? And it was trying to rob. And remember last Easter when I sat up here, right? Shouldn't have been in here, but I came anyways. And I had that big pad on there bleeding. I didn't know it, but I wanted to touch everybody, right? His resurrection life, glory. You got to understand, Pastor Philip is one hard head. Y'all see the gentle side. This is the gentle side. You don't want to see the hard side. Hallelujah. But you got to have a firm grip if you're going to take territory now, right? But sickness will try to rob you. I'm making up for lost time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And what did God do? He said, have a faith lift. Remember that? Remember that? We did 3 weeks. I mean, that's you don't realize, and it's all the grace of God, but you don't realize the strength it takes to do that. You just get up there and go. Yeah, see, you don't realize. If you just want to get up there and go, then you ain't got a word in due season. You got to sit in front of God. You got to hear from God, and then when you release it, it's got to be done in order. Remember how the Holy Ghost was hitting those meetings? Three of you. Well, anyways, sickness is a vicious robber and killer, whether suddenly or slowly. We've gotten to the fifth one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm expecting Sunday. I'm expecting. I guess I'm the only one. But I'm expecting Sunday. Why should I travel to other places and miracles pop? And then at home here, right? We should have miracles popping in here. But I can guarantee you this. Sunday, healing will be in the house. I can assure you that. Yes, it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. Substitutionary work. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be what? Might be what? Shout that word. Now listen to this. Poverty is a vicious limiter and killer, whether suddenly or slowly. That's what poverty does. It limits you. It limits you what kind of clothes you can buy. It limits you on what kind of food you can eat, what kind of conditions you live in. Poverty does that. It's of the curse. That's why Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, being made poverty for us. Right? So that the blessing, not blessings, blessings is what the blessing brings. You see the blessings in Deuteronomy 28. But right there in Galatians 3, it's talking about the blessing of Abraham that produces blessings, plural. The blessing, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing, singular, it maketh rich. And he adds, no sorrow with it. So poverty is a vicious limiter and killer, whether suddenly or slowly. Thank God for these five exchanges. These are the great exchanges. This is the gospel in a condensed form. But to somebody that's just born again, it stretches their soul. But for you, you understand all five areas, right? And you're working on them. Are you following this? And so I just wanted to remind you about the master, right? These vicious killers of separators, tormentors, imagers, robbers, limiters. We have been redeemed from being separated, tormented, imaged, robbed, and limited. We've been redeemed to life, soundness, divine nature, health, and riches. Somebody shout to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, see? It's a great exchange. This is our time. This is our season. And don't let those little foxes spoil the vine. I believe we're on the greatest explosion that this church has ever seen or known. They are coming. And you and I have remained steadfast, faithful. And at the same time, look what God teaches you. Look at God don't have us going around the merry-go-round. He keeps enhancing your spiritual intellect with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. If you need to give an envelope tonight, hold your hand up. The ushers will assist you. Operation Faith continues to move. I did a walkthrough earlier this week, and the new bathrooms are drywalled in. And Pastor Elizabeth's and Elder Family's offices are just about complete. And they're nice. And I got to make sure that the furniture that goes in there is nice. Hallelujah. You don't want an executive office and then it be furnished substandard. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The columns are ordered. The rails for the balcony are ordered. The new foyer passing electrical inspection. Pastor Desnor is coordinating with other subcontractors on getting bids here and there, and God is moving on donors. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the great exchange. We thank you that we are that world distribution center. Paymasters of the gospel, debt-free, living in abundance. And we bring our seed to you tonight to keep the outreaches going. Radio, television, books, music, our podcasts, our YouTube channels, everything that we're on, Lord God, our radio, FEC radio program, everything continues to move forward. Bless both gift and giver now, in Jesus' mighty name, so be it. Amen, amen, amen. Bring it happy.
Justified, yeah, I'm believing.
I'm believing.
Receiving.
Receiving.
Hundredfold.
Hundredfold. Makabasata. Maribi baba kababara.
Well, thinks I'm crazy. Don't really care. Not gonna get lazy. Gonna get my share. Yeah, I'm believing.
Believing?
Receiving.
You got a car. Hey! Praise God.
Windows of heaven opened up with my eyes.
Isn't that wonderful? Come bebopping up here. Are you happy? Yeah, I got a car. But look at us. That happens all the time. Right? It's not like, you got a car. No, that's what happens. Hey, if you haven't picked up some flyers to pass out, where are they, Tiff? Where? Oh, I should have known. It's by the candy. Should have known. Hallelujah. Come in here expecting, because we're going to have us a time. Amen. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these your people as they go their way. Spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, I bless them out of the house of the Lord. Now, in Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Share the love of Jesus with those around you. We'll see you Resurrection Life Sunday.